You know, as we enter into this new year, there are a lot of new things, new ideas, new plans, new resolutions. There's things we're hoping to see done and have done, and we wanna kind of be a part of that. Whatever your hopes are, your dreams are, your resolutions are for this year, we wanna partner with you in those things, come alongside you in those things. So as we kick off the new year, we're gonna kick off a new series today, and the series is titled "Make Yourself." And what we're going to do is we're going to really focus on, creating some holy habits. We're going to, help you create some habits spiritually. But we also want to come alongside you because we believe, man, if we really want to be whole, if we really want to be healthy, then spiritual needs need to be met, our mental needs need to be met, and our physical needs need to be met. And so we want to come alongside you in those three ways. And so we're going to give you some things to help you along with that as you kick off your new year. But the other thing about this series, Make Yourself, is we're going to be looking at these statements in John's gospel called "I Assure You." If you look in John's gospel, there are 25 of these specific statements that John gives, "I Assure You." In different translations, they'll show up in different ways. So in some, you'll see "truly, truly," or "most assuredly," or "very truly," or "verily, verily" is the King James Version. And then in the Greek, the phrase is actually "amen, amen." It's one of those things that's like, okay, this is an interesting thing to look at and to focus on. And I want you to see the significance of these statements that Jesus gives and the power behind them. And so it's really, really interesting that that Jesus uses this phrase, amen and amen. Now, the first thing you think is like, typically it's the beginning of a phrase. When do we usually say amen? At the end, right? It's a confirmation of what something that has been said. Well, Jesus comes along and he starts his sentence with amen, but not just one, it's two. And you're like, oh boy, it's about to drop some fire. You know what I'm saying? Like it's about to happen. And so, Jesus put amen before his statements. And really what this is like what he's about to proclaim is coming from a place of divine authority. It is truth. It is what you can hold on to. In John's gospel, this double amen, it kind of intensifies and clarifies the certainty and revelation of what Jesus is saying it and that he is the one who is saying it. And after he says amen, 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 afterwards you see that he's often introducing a new revelation, some heavenly truth, or he's saying there is this fulfillment of a promise that you've already heard. And so when we see this phrase, whether it's "I assure you," "very truly, truly," or "assuredly," or "amen, amen," it's not Jesus saying, hey, lean in and listen close. This is somewhat important. No, Jesus is saying, what I'm about to say to you is absolutely true because I am the absolute truth. And it's very powerful. And so we're gonna unpack these statements because they reveal what is true, what will be true, and what has already been promised and fulfilled. And every single one of these statements points to fulfillment in Jesus alone. Now, to be clear, our Make Yourself series, it's not about becoming a better version of ourselves. Our goal in all of this is about making ourselves more like Jesus so that we can seek him, find him, learn how to daily follow him. And as we learn to daily follow him, man, Jesus changes everything. And so over the next few weeks, we'll look at some of the assurances. I'm going to probably put a few together. I'm not going to address all 25, but we will look at a lot of them. And through them, we're going to challenge ourselves to make ourselves hear his word and to hunger for righteousness, to make ourselves holy, to make ourselves heaven-bound, to make ourselves humble and honest, but most importantly, to make ourselves his. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on. And the very first assurance that I'm going to share with you in a few moments, really what it is, it's a promise of getting to see and experience greater things through Jesus. And I go, man, with this first assurance, it kind of resonates with the season that we're in right now. As we begin to enter into a new year, what do we want to experience? What do we want to see? Greater things. We want to see Jesus show up in greater ways, right? And so this time of year, it's full of New Year's resolutions and a desire to change some habits, and we're going to set some goals, and we're going to chase after these dreams, and it brings with it this anticipation and an expectation. This year, I want to be better than last year. This year, I'm going to do something and go after something great. This year, I'm going to finally make the change that I need to change for myself and for the people around me that I love. And these are all good things, positive things, things that we should consider and go after, set the goal, start the habit, make the resolution. But here's what I'll say. I'll ask you, and I'll encourage you to ask yourself, what's going to make this year different than last year? Really? Because we do this every year, right? This is it's a traditional thing where it's a new year, and we're gonna go after something. What's gonna make this year different than last year? I don't know about you, but as I entered into this year, I began to look back at the things I said I was going to do at the beginning of 2025. And so the question becomes, is who you set out to be on January 1st of 2025, who you became on January 1st of 2026? Were you able to accomplish the things you set out to accomplish? Were you able to hold fast maybe to the word for the year that you set up for yourself? And if you say, yeah, you know what, Pastor, yes, I'd say, awesome, congratulations, that's amazing, you crushed it, keep going after it, keep pressing on for more, because that's huge. But if you say, no, I look back and I said, no, I don't think I did. Well, my encouragement to you today is you're not alone. And that is the reality. And so, you know, we've gone through this and we've done this, and oftentimes, you know, we get to the middle of the year and we go, what was I trying to do at the beginning of the year again? And we tend to be hard on ourselves. And so what I want to say is, like, I don't, you know, ask these questions to point out failure or to say, why even try? No, it's not a pessimistic thing. I'm just, man, I'm looking at it and going, you know, maybe we didn't accomplish it, and that's okay. Guess what? We have another day, we have another year, and we can try again. But I'm looking, but we really need to figure out why. Why wasn't I able to hold to whatever it was that I felt called to? Why wasn't I able to push through all of that? And so I was chatting with my wife about some of these things, and just we were talking about the new year and things that are coming up, and I just found myself kind of, you know, looking back over the things that I had planned in 2025. Like at the beginning of the year, these are some things that I was hoping and expected to happen, and I remember those things. And then I was also thinking about all the things that actually happened, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is what I want to happen, and I hope to happen, but then there's all these other things that also took place. And so there were things I hoped for in my work life, church life, and home life. You know, I'd really, really hoped that 2025 would be the year that we hire a youth pastor. And we did. Amen. Praise Jesus. We have, you know, and so that was amazing. We set out at the beginning of last year to raise money for a future property, and we were able to do that, and that's amazing. We planned for and had my daughter's wedding, and that was an exciting thing. I got to celebrate my son Cohen's first birthday. At the beginning of last year, I introduced doing a Bible study on Sunday nights, even though I didn't want to. God told me, and so I did, and it has been a blessing ever since, and I'm so glad that I didn't. So, like, things I hoped for, things I expected, and it was good. But there are also things I did not expect. Throughout the year, losing some staff members, some volunteers, and even some friends. There's financial strain with medical bills and electric bills. And those are bad. In other senses, things I weren't expected. Some old friends moving back in and being able to rekindle and reform those relationships. New leaders stepping up into roles at the church. We got to make some changes in our church with just how the space is laid out. That's going to help us to continue to press on as a church. Those are good things. I also had to go through the grief and loss of a miscarriage. Unexpected. And then at the end of the year, a good friend and a church family member passed away. And again, it's like I had dreams about how the year would go and what I would accomplish. And then life showed up and just, right? It's almost like the circumstances of the year come in like a whisk and just go to your perfectly good egg yolk and just go like this too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to have my egg be over easy, and then it's just like spill over my bread, and I can dip it and eat it. And the circumstances came in, they're like, no. I'm like, okay, I guess it's scrambled. Put some ketchup on it. Anybody ketchup on your egg? Okay, no, we don't. But that's just how it goes. And then, like, we get through to a certain moment in our year, and, like, we've failed to meet our expectations. We fumbled, we faltered. And it becomes really, really easy to just give up, right? Like, well, that didn't work out. Maybe I'll try again next year. Maybe not. Who knows? And I'm getting into this year, and things are happening at the end of the year, and I'm doing my best to like look forward, but I keep looking back, and I'm like, man, everyone else is like setting goals and getting words and making plans and doing all these things, and I'm like, I'm just trying to get through this week. As a matter of fact, I'm just trying to get through today. That'd be great. If I could just make sure that what I need to do this day gets done, and I'll do the same thing the next day. Sometimes thinking about a month from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, it can be overwhelming, especially when circumstances come in and mess things up. You know, trying to make changes and sustain it for an entire year, like, it's almost like it's unattainable. Like, we've gotten to this place where we set ourselves up for failure. And then we just keep repeating that cycle again and again, like, oh, next year it'll be better somehow, and I'll go after it. You know, even though we can make a good run at our resolutions, right? You get 3 weeks in, you're feeling good about yourself. A month goes by, and you're like, okay, I've heard that after 30 days, habits begin to form. All right. And then you get to month two, and you're like, okay, that's out the door, right? I don't know what happened. And because circumstances change. The unexpected happens, and the unplanned hits, and before we know it, we get a little bit through the year, halfway through the year, and it's like we're right back where we used to be, the habits of 2025, or even 2024, or for some of us, 2015. I don't know, we regress really, really bad. I don't know what happens. And we just, you know, find ourselves questioning why, you know, what's going on, and why isn't this working, and we get down on ourselves. And I was brought to this proverb, Proverbs 16:9. It says this: a person's heart plans his way, but the Lord determines his steps. And I think it spoke so much to me, because I look back through the year, and I'm not going to look at what I accomplished or what I set out to do. I'm looking and going, look at what God did. Look at the ways in which God moved, many of which I hadn't even thought of or expected, and I'm thankful that I get to be a part of. And so, you know, as we enter into this new year, like, let me give you a new angle. Maybe instead of making some grand New Year's resolution and setting out for these big goals and these sweeping changes and these overwhelming expectations, what if you just chose to focus on today and then do it again tomorrow and then do it again the next day? Like, what if instead of making a New Year's resolution, you made a new day resolution? Like, don't just think about January 1st as being a new year. Guess what? It's another day. It's just another day. It's another opportunity for you to respond to and listen to and respond to whatever the Spirit is calling you to for that day and for the next day and for the next day. Again, it becomes hard to think about doing something for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 365 days. But what about one day? Me and my wife used to have this saying when we were licensed foster parents, and they would call, and you know, we were a big home many kids already, and they would call and be like, we have a sibling group. And we would just say to ourselves, we can do this for one day. And if we can do this for one day, guess what? We can do it for another day. And then we can just keep doing it for that day. And so we would just say, let me just focus on today and what God's calling me to today. Let me step into what God has for me today and see what he wants to do. And then if I fail today, guess what? I get another opportunity tomorrow. And I was reminded of two passages of scriptures. Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen? Yeah. It's a powerful thing, you know? And then in Lamentations 3:22, it says, because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new, when? Every morning. Every day. We say, great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I'll put my hope in him, in his plans and what he wants to do and the ways that he's leading me and guiding me. And so I encourage you today, make a new day resolution and then do it again tomorrow and do it again the next day and do it again the next day and then do it throughout the year. You know, one of the traditions I like that has happened probably for a while now, at least I've been doing it, is choosing a word for the year. How many of you guys do a word for the year? Look this up, man. Find a word to really hold on to for the whole year. It's in one sense, it's like you could say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to change this. But if you go into what you're going to do like every single day and you're going to say, no, my word for every moment is this, it's a lot more attainable than trying to do these things and meet up to your own expectations that you set for yourself. So if you've never done this, do this, pray about this, seek scripture about this. Find something, find a word that scripture, the spirit, or other people are giving to you and revealing to you, and then say, this is my word for this year. And so here's what I'll say. My word for this year is enrichment. And it's something that God brought to me at the end of December last year. And really what this is taking what I've been given, what I've been blessed with, what I've been entrusted with, what I've been called to, and focusing on developing it and strengthening it and making it better. So for me as a pastor, enrichment. As a boss, enrichment. As a father, as a husband, as a friend, right? In my relationships, I want them to be enriched. In our Sunday services, in our crews that we're having, I want there to be enrichment. In my time, in my presence with my kid, I want it to be full of enrichment. I want my life to feel enriched, not frantic. I want my life to be intentional, but not scattered. And I, as I look at really doing those things, I go, in order for me to have and do this and feel experience enrichment in my life, there's going to have to be some changes, right? There's going to have to be some things that I have to remove so that I can replace them with the things that God is calling me to. And so, you know, often as we set out to make changes, it's going to require us to remove something. But you got to know this. If you're going to remove something, you better replace it with something else. And I would say replace it with the things of God, because if you don't, the things of the world will creep in and try to take over. And so there's removal and then there's addition. And so if I'm going to enrich what matters most, then I'm going to have to remove the distractions that keep me busy but unfulfilled. They keep me busy but not present. They keep me busy, but oftentimes not doing what God has called me to do. And so I've got to focus on what matters most and take it one day at a time. Amen. Enrich my relationships, enrich my calling one day at a time, and focus on what each day requires. So what I want to do through this series, we want to help you do this in your life. I want to help guide you to renewal in body, mind, and spirit. I want to help you remove what needs to be removed and replace it with holy habits that will bring renewal in your life. I want to provide you with daily practices for your body, for your mind, and for your spirit that'll help you press on to whatever God is showing you, calling you to, or revealing to you today. So now, the first assurance, we're going to get to that in just a minute. We're not there just yet. I got you there. Before I get into the first assurance, it takes place in John 1. I want to just show you the lead up to it, because there's a very, very poignant question that Jesus asked that I think is so important for us today. So John 1, verse 38, this is what Jesus says. Ready for it? What are you looking for? That's it. What are you looking for? Some people were following him, and he said, what are you looking for? They said to him, Rabbi. And in this moment, you got to understand, they're calling him teacher. They're calling him master. They're saying, we want to follow you. And they say, where are you staying? And his response is simple. Ready for it? Come, and you'll see. And so this is such a powerful question that Jesus asked to those that are seeking to follow him. And I think it's very, very important for us today. What are you looking for? What are you looking for this year? What are you hoping for this year? How are you going to follow Jesus this year? You know, as he asked that question to them, they answer with Rabbi. And by calling him Rabbi, they're saying, we want to follow you. And he says, come, follow me, come and see. And when you do, you're going to see greater things. And what I'm going to say to you today, the greatest thing that we can do for ourselves this year is to continue to follow Jesus every day. It's a daily pursuit. It's a daily seeking, daily time in the Word, daily prayer, daily worship. No matter the plans, no matter the expectations, no matter the failures, no matter the loss, we daily seek him. And as we do, he brings hope, and he brings peace, and he brings healing, and he brings joy, and he brings purpose, and he brings renewal. So it's a daily thing. Now, let's get into the first assurance a little later. In John chapter 1, Jesus calls Philip to follow, and then Philip calls Nathanael. And so verse 43, kind of leading into verse 51, it says, Jesus found Philip and told him, follow me. And then Philip found Nathanael and told him, come and see. You kind of see this like ebb and flow of follow me, come and see, follow. It's like this whole thing. And then Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said about him, here is a true Israelite. No deceit is in him. He says, how do you know me? Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you, Jesus answered. Rabbi, Nathanael replied, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus responded to him, do you believe only because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this. Verse 51 is where we get our statement. Then he said, I assure you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Now, this first assurance, I'll just come out right and say, this is an invitation. Is an invitation to follow Jesus. Because as you follow Jesus, you're going to experience greater things than you ever hoped for, expected, or even imagined. And so that's what this is laying out there. But at first glance, you're kind of reading through and you're like, thanks, Jesus, for that assurance. There's going to be heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Like, I don't know about you. Like, I mean, at first read, at first glance, you're like, I don't know that I fully understand what Jesus is saying. So for you and I, it might elude us as to what's taking place. But for Nathanael and for other Israelites at that time, like, they would have caught it immediately. So let's just unpack it really quickly. Jesus is referencing two things right here that I want to show. The first one, this assure you statement, recaptures a vision that Jacob has in Genesis 28. You may be familiar with the phrase Jacob's ladder. Anyone ever heard of Jacob's ladder? Okay, so this is what he's talking about. Jacob has this vision about angels descending and ascending a stairway or a ladder. And so he's talking about that. And then the second thing that sticks out is this phrase, Son of Man. And the Son of Man also recalls a vision from the book of Daniel. And so what you have is you have two prophetic visions that are mentioned, and then you have two massive declarations that Jesus makes about himself. And the first one is this. You ready for it? Jesus says, I am the ladder. And you go, okay, what's that mean? And so Jesus says, you'll see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And it's what Jesus is saying, he says, I am the connecting point. I am the bridge between heaven and earth. Do you see? He's declaring in his first one, his divinity and what his mission would be, that he would come down from heaven and he would return up to heaven so that you and I could experience God's presence on earth. And then when we depart from this earth, we then get to ascend up to heaven. And it's only through Jesus that we're able to experience God here and experience God after we leave. So it's just this powerful thing. John 3, verse 14, it kind of echoes this sentiment and some of these statements. And it says this, no one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven. And you see that phrase again, the Son of Man. It says, the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. And then we get to John 3:16, right? We know this. For God so loved the world in this way that he gave his only Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And Jesus is going, guess what? I have arrived and I am going to give you eternal life. Come and see, follow me, and you're going to experience greater things. Now, the second part is that Jesus declares himself as Son of Man. So you see that going out there. And you might be like, well, what does this phrase mean? What is the importance here? And I just want you to see that with this, what Jesus is saying is that he is the one who's going to usher in the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you remember, if you go back, Nathanael referenced him not as the Son of Man, but as the Son of God and also the King of Israel. And what these two statements are loaded with are expectations of a political Messiah and an earthly reign. But when Jesus calls himself the Son of Man, that title carried with it eternal significance. Let's read Daniel 7, which was what he was referencing. Verse 13, he says, I saw one like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He was given authority to rule and glory and a kingdom, so that those of every people, nation, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will not be destroyed. And so you can see how Jesus, referencing himself as the Son of Man, he's saying, I am the one he's talking about. This is the kingdom that I came to establish. Jesus is indicating that his messiahship goes far beyond just earthly reign. It's not just a rebellion against Rome. It's not some political takeover. Jesus is ushering in the kingdom of God, reconciling earth and heaven and revealing God's glory in an entirely new way. And so Jesus's very first, I assure you, statement, what it does is it just sets the stage for the cross and the penalty that he would pay and what he would pay on the cross for our sins. And the resurrection, right? And it showcases that Jesus has come down, he has descended, even to the point of death, but then he ascended in resurrection life, so that you and I can then do the same thing. We can be put to death, our old life is put to death, and then we are raised again, ascended to eternal life in Jesus. And that's what he's proclaiming here in this moment. And these are the greater things. It's not just about what you're going to experience. Yes, you will see great things on this earth, but it's also about what you will get to enter into when you leave this place. Now, it's interesting. Nathanael believed and followed because of a small sign, right? Jesus said, I saw you. I saw you under the fig tree. And I'm just like, maybe Jesus was a stalker, you know? And he was like going around, sneak in and he'd tell people, I saw you. And it's like, and Jesus is like, listen, you believe because of this tiny thing? This is minuscule compared to what I'm going to do. And he says, if you follow me and if you do it daily, I am going to show you many great things. And so Jesus has promised these great things. But what's interesting is those great things aren't what the disciples expected. They didn't happen how or when, right? 3 years go by. And in that time, they've seen miracles. And they've seen Jesus preach and teach like anything else. They put their hope and their trust and their faith in him and what they thought he was going to eventually do. Overthrow the Roman government, bring Jerusalem back to the seat of power. And this kingdom would be established on earth. And yet, even though their hopes and their expectations didn't come out that way or how they imagined, here's what I'll say. Following Jesus daily changed their lives every day after. And it continued to change their lives. And it brought out lasting change. But they had to first follow him. They didn't know all the answers. They didn't fully understand what he was doing. He just said, follow me, come and see, I'll show you great things. And I think, you know, to fully understand what it meant for them to follow a rabbi for the first disciples, it carried with it a lot of weight. And so for the first disciples, to follow a rabbi meant leaving, if you had one, leaving your current teacher or whatever trade you were in. It meant restructuring your daily life around his life. It meant adopting his interpretation of scripture, his priority, his mission. And this is why fishermen dropped their nets. And this is why tax collectors left their booths. And this is why zealots dropped their weapons. And this is why family, reputation, and security became negotiable things when Jesus said, follow me. Because to follow meant your daily life now moves in one direction. It's his direction. Where he says to go, you follow. What he says to do, you do. You follow Jesus, you follow your rabbi so that you can become like Jesus. In Jewish discipleship, there was a well-known saying. It was this, may you be covered by the dust of your rabbi. And here's what that means, because they walked around a lot, right? And what that meant was, is as your rabbi is walking from place to place, walk so closely to him that as his feet kick up dirt, it covers the front of you. And so it's not just about like doing or what your rabbi says. It's about following how he lives. And it encompasses and covers all of you. And so when Jesus says, follow me as a rabbi, he's saying, you ready for it? I define truth. I determine direction. I shape identity. And I reveal God along the way. And this explains why Jesus calls people before they fully understand him. Why Jesus reveals the truth along the way, but not before the journey. And this is why Jesus says, follow me before he says, I assure you. There's got to be obedience first. You see, belief grows inside daily obedience. It grows inside daily following. It grows inside daily faith, not outside of it. You want to believe, you got to give your all and follow him. And when he adds, I assure you, you will see greater thing. What he's saying is he's promising that faithful following always leads to deeper understanding. The question today becomes, are you covered in the dust of Jesus? Will this year, your life, your plans, your hopes, your dreams be covered in the dust of Jesus? I think what we've got to come to is like Jesus' call to follow is what it's daily. It's a daily commitment. It's a daily peace. It's a daily hope. It's a daily wonder in all the things that he's doing. It's a daily gratitude. It's every day waking up to his new mercies and saying, today, Jesus, I'm going to do my best to follow you closely and be like you no matter what comes my way. Even if the day doesn't go the way I thought, even if my plans don't come out, I'm going to continue to focus on you and follow you because I am believing what you said when you said I would experience greater things. I may not understand it. I may not like it. It may not happen the way that I want. But Jesus, I know following you is the best thing for me. Is the best thing for my relationships. Is the best thing for my job. Is the best thing for my financial standing. It's the best thing. And so I'm going to choose to follow you. And so Jesus' statement to Nathanael is the same statement to us. I assure you, if you choose to follow Jesus, you will see greater things. Not things that you hope for or things that you imagined, but greater things. Things of heaven. Now we know this. We can't follow Jesus the same way that the early disciples followed Jesus, right? We don't actually get to walk behind him and have his dirt kick up on us. I would love that. I would love to walk so close to Jesus that his dirt was on me and I would collect it and I'd put it in a jar and I'd hold on to it. Maybe I'd dip it in some water and rub it on my eyes just to see what happens. You just never know because it's Jesus' dust, you know what I'm saying? That'd be awesome. Let me get some Jesus dirt on me. We don't get that opportunity. But we have been given his word. And we have been given his spirit. I mean, think about this. What did Jesus say? He says, I have to go. I have to ascend. And when I do, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, what are you going to do? You're going to do and see even greater things. And you see how it comes full circle? And what he gives to us, what he offers to us. And so by these means, his word and his spirit and his people, we get to experience God in the same ways that the first disciples did. You know, this year will be filled with hopes fulfilled and dreams achieved and changes accomplished. But there will also be unexpected circumstances. And what I'm here to encourage you to do today, like all we must do today and tomorrow and the next day, you ready for it? Seek him, follow him, love him, live for him again and again and again. And when we do, we can hold fast to the promise of seeing and experiencing greater things in our lives. I'm gonna ask that you would bow your heads, close your eyes. We're gonna close out our time. And I think I'll just echo that question from Jesus one more time. What are you looking for? What are you looking for this year? What are you looking for in your marriage? What are you looking for in your career? What are you looking for your kids? For your finances, for your relationships? What are you looking for as it pertains to your relationship with God? I know it's been on your mind. I know you've been thinking about it. I know you've been praying about it. I know you've been seeking him. Whatever you're hoping, expecting, planning, it will be greater by choosing to follow him. Let him determine your steps, put it in his hands, and trust that because he's got a hold of it and he's in control of it, you're going to see greater things. The greatest change you can make today is the one that allows you to seek him every day. Seek him in his word, seek him through worship, seek him through prayer, seek him in community with other believers. Seek him through serving. Seek him in generosity. Like, Jesus just wants you to experience him every day in everything that you do. And that's our call, right? It's so simple. Follow me. That's what he says to us. Follow me closely. Follow me intimately. Follow me when you're blessed. Follow me when it hurts. Follow me when you get it, and follow me when you don't understand. Keep following me. Keep trusting. Keep hoping. And you will experience those greater things. God, today, my prayer is that each and every one of us will commit to daily seeking you, to daily following you. God, to daily just sitting in your presence, basking in your wonder, and being in gratitude of what you did, of what your son did, of all the things you've given to us. God, I pray that we would daily seek you. God, I pray that we would begin to remove what needs to be removed and replace them with holy habits, with things that will bring renewal to our spirit, to our body, and to our mind. All those things that are hurting us and damaging us, God, that we would remove them. I pray over our goals and our plans, that you would be in them, that you would be the foundation of them. God, I pray for the word that you have given or will give to us for this year, that we would hold fast to that word and what you want to do through it. God, right here, right now in this place, I pray for reconciliation in damaged relationships. God, I pray for strengthening of good relationships. God, I pray this year that you would send us new friendships and new relationships to come alongside us, to support us, to encourage us, to hold us accountable to seeking you every day. God, would you continue to draw us closer to you so that we can be more and more like your son, Jesus, in everything that we do. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.